Well, good evening, Strong Tower. If you have your Bibles, would you turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 2, as we conclude our series, Giving Jesus Our Best for Christmas. And today, the focus is, let's give him myrrh. And I'm reading from Matthew, chapter 2, beginning at verse 9. And the Bible says, when they heard the king, they departed. And behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. Verse 11. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, this evening, let me speak on the subject of let's give him myrrh. As we see in the passage, the Magi had come from the east and had trekked for about 2 years' time following a star in order to meet the king of the Jews. What's interesting, as we've talked about in past weeks, is that these men were not believers. They were pagans. Yet, the Lord spoke to them in a very direct way. He put a star in the sky. He placed it on their heart to follow that star in order to find the king of the Jews. So what we see here is that God is not only about saving the seed of Abraham, the Hebrew people, but God is also a light to the Gentiles. He wants to bring salvation to everyone, and he moves on the hearts of these magi, these astronomers, these astrologers, these unbelievers, to come all the way from the east into Bethlehem on a 2-year journey to worship the king of the Jews. And the Bible lets us know that when they came, they brought tribute or gifts, because they understand in their culture that when you go and meet a dignitary, when you go and meet a king, someone who is mighty, it is respectful to bring gifts to that king. So they're bringing tribute, gifts from their culture, from their country, and they bring gold and they bring frankincense. And now we're going to look at how they brought myrrh. But first, there's symbolism in these gifts. The gold represents the kingship of Jesus. The frankincense represents the fact that Jesus Christ is God, God in the flesh. And today, the myrrh represents or symbolizes that Jesus suffered. He became our Savior through suffering as a human being. So these gifts that they brought were symbolic in nature, that spoke of who Jesus Christ was and is, but also in the infinite wisdom of God, these gifts would be used to finance their trip into Egypt, which they are about to take. Oh my God, is so good. But let's talk about myrrh for a moment, the gift of myrrh. Myrrh was and is an aromatic spice. And myrrh comes from Arabia and Ethiopia, from Africa. It was used for medicinal purposes, and it was also used for embalming the body of the deceased. Myrrh foreshadowed Jesus' humanity, his violent physical suffering, and his sacrificial death. So when they brought the myrrh to the Lord, it was used, as we mentioned back in those days, for medicinal purposes. It was very, very valuable. But as they're presenting this to Christ, they're also presenting to us a type or a picture of the fact that Christ would suffer in order to save us. He would suffer. Now, they didn't know that when they're presenting these gifts, but God knew that when they were presenting those gifts, because everything is to point to Jesus Christ. So they're giving him myrrh. So when we look back at what happened in the house, when the wise men came. And as we've said before, it doesn't say that there were three of them, even though there were three gifts. More than likely, they were traveling in a caravan in those days because they had those treasures with them, and they themselves were coming from the east and no doubt had many people with them in this caravan. And they come to the house, not to the manger. Jesus is no longer a baby, but like my grandson, Jesus is a toddler. And so he's a young child, and they come into the house. They fall down and they worship him. Not Mary. Mary is respectable and she's to be honored, but she's not worthy of our worship. They worship the child, Jesus. And then they open up their treasures. Gold, speaking of the fact that he's king. The frankincense, speaking of the fact that this child is God in the flesh. And myrrh, that he's the Savior who would suffer for our sins. So because of the myrrh, because of the suffering of our Savior, Strong Tower, I'm going to leave you with these three things for us to do. Number one, let us give him praise. As we give him the myrrh, or we acknowledge that he suffered to save us, let us now in turn give him praise. For that is why Jesus came, to suffer and to die for our sins. That's why he was wrapped in swaddling clothes as a child, because those swaddling clothes typified the burial clothes that Jesus would be wrapped in. And so Jesus came to die. He came to suffer and die. And we thank God for communion, because through communion, we get to remember what Jesus did for us in a demonstrative way on a regular basis. And what we see here, the myrrh is also a picture to thank God for the fact that our Savior suffered for us on Calvary's cross. So we give him praise. We thank him for all that he went through in order to set us free. And we don't have to wait for Christmas to give him the gift of thanks and the gift of praise. We should thank him every day for the sacrifice that he made for us. But then secondly, Strong Tower, we should give Jesus our pain this Christmas, because myrrh, once again, speaks of suffering. Doreen and I, about a year ago, moved to Smyrna. Smyrna is also found in the book of Revelation, the church of Smyrna. And Smyrna, again, literally means suffering. And that church in the book of Revelation, they went through intense suffering. And there are times in our lives we go through extenuating circumstances and unrivaled pain, and we're wondering what is going on. But God is using the pain. He's using the stress from the test to grow us in our faith and to develop us, because even his son Jesus Christ experienced suffering. But here's the good news. This Christmas, we can give him our pain and our suffering. Chris Tomlin wrote these words, "Blessed be your name on the road marked with suffering. Though there's pain in the offering, blessed be your name." You see, as believers, there are times we're going to have to offer to God a sacrifice of praise, because we're going through a hard season and we're all trying to grow to that place where we can say, "The Lord gives, the Lord takes away, blessed be the name of the Lord." So give him your pain. Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, "Cast all your cares upon him, because he cares for you." The word cares can also be translated as anxiety, the things that stress us out. Our shoulders are not big enough, strong enough, wide enough, broad enough to carry those things. He wants us to, Psalm 55:22, "Cast your burdens upon the Lord, because he cares for you." Pastor, why are you bringing this up right now? It's Christmas time. Well, guess what? Christmas time brings out a lot of pain in many of our brothers and sisters. Christmas time reminds us that we have some painful memories that come up. And for some of us, these memories are the fact that we're about to encounter our first Christmas tomorrow without loved ones who passed away this year. And there's pain when we think about those good times, even those challenging moments that our mother, our father, our brother, our sister, a friend, a coworker, a cousin is not here with us. And this is our first Christmas without them. There's pain there. But I'm so glad we have a Savior who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. So Strong Tower, don't hold the pain. Give him your pain. Cast your painful family dynamics onto the Lord. Your family dysfunction. Cast that pain onto the one who came to die for our pain. That painful marriage, that painful relationship. Some of us, as we're going into Christmas tomorrow, we're thinking about family members that we are estranged from, who we won't get a call from this Christmas, and it hurts. But again, I'm so glad that we have a Savior who knows not only the pain in our heart, but he's able to wipe the tears from our eyes. That's real talk. He's been here. He knows what we're going through. And then there are some of us who have painful health challenges this season. We're getting older. We had a diagnosis. We're on prescription meds. Something is going on in our bodies that we don't even understand. Yes, I love Jesus, but I still have pain in my body. And so, Lord, we cast these cares on you because you care for us. So give him your pain, Strong Tower. But finally, after you have given him your praise and you've given him your pain, watch this. Let's flip it. We have the kind of God that when you give to him, he gives back to you. So when we give him praise and even give him our pain, guess what? He gives us his peace. He gives us peace. So when we give him the stuff that hurts, he gives us peace back. Somebody said, Pastor, I don't believe you. Well, Philippians chapter 4, written by a man who was locked up in jail, he wrote, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known unto God." Watch this. "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, shall guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord." So give him the pain and watch him give you his peace. Not only that, Jesus said in John chapter 14, verse 27, "Peace I leave with you. Peace I give you, but not as the world gives peace." Anybody else want peace besides me? Oh, yeah. Well, Jesus is the author of peace, the dispenser of peace. He gives us peace this Christmas. Luke chapter 2, when we think of the Christmas story and the birth of Jesus, the angels came together, the angelic choir, and they sang, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards all men." So when Jesus was born, peace came into the world. But watch this. As the angels are singing that God's son has been born through the Virgin Mary, and they're saying peace has come to the world, goodwill towards all men. Guess what? King Herod was on the throne. So as they're talking about peace in the world, there was also turmoil in Jerusalem and in Bethlehem and in Judea because King Herod was on the throne. And I'm going to say lowercase t right there, throne. But what I want you to see is that evil was present because, as we're going to read later in Matthew, that Herod went out and killed children, trying to kill Jesus, children who were 2 years old and younger. This man was maniacal, evil, deranged, all of that. So in the midst of peace, there was also stress in trouble. What's the point, Pastor? Peace is not always the absence of hostility. But with God, or should I say, peace that is heavenly. Peace that is heavenly brings tranquility in spite of earthly hostility. Let me say it again. Peace is always the presence of heavenly tranquility in spite of earthly hostility. So in their age, it was who's on the throne in Jerusalem. In our age, it's who's on the throne in various countries around the world where believers are being tortured and tormented. And even here in this country where there are evil people who are running our government, we can still have peace. In the midst of all of the hostility, God gives us a heavenly tranquility, reminding us that this world is not our home and the world can't take what God has given us. Peace works on the inside of you. Again, it will surpass your understanding. I should have lost my mind this Christmas. But no, I'm in my right mind this Christmas because God has given me peace, which is one of the fruits of the Spirit. You can't calculate it. You can't try to figure it out. It just moves and works on you through the Holy Spirit, where you once were all over the place, but now you are calm and serene and tranquil. That's my prayer for those of us who are in all kinds of vicissitudes and challenges and stresses of life, that you don't let all that stuff cause you to miss what Isaiah said. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. Oh, strong tower, let's give him myrrh. Let's give him our praise because he suffered for us to set us free. But also, strong tower, let's give him our pain this Christmas, because the one who experienced pain knows what to do with all of our pain, physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, whatever it is, give him the pain. But then after that, make sure you receive his peace. My God, the Prince of Peace has come. I pray that you're at peace in your soul this Christmas. I pray that you will have a wonderful, wonderful day tomorrow, enjoying the Lord and thanking God for the one who was born so that you and I could be born again. Anybody born again out there? Anybody know this child, the Son of Man, the Son of God? Anybody know him? He's a life changer, isn't he? He's good. So you be sure to thank him and worship him as you get your family together tomorrow. Blessing, Strong Tower.